2. Over the next few days, Kelsier tried to replicate his success in getting Vin to listen to him. Unfortunately, Ruin was watching for him now. Each time Kelsier got close, Ruin interfered, surrounding him, holding him back, choking him with black smoke and driving him away. Ruin seemed amused to keep Kelsier around the periphery of Vin's camp outside Fadrick's and didn't drive him away. But any time Kelsier tried to speak directly with her, Ruin punished him, like a parent slapping a child's hand for getting too close to the flame. It was infuriating, more so because of the way Ruin's words dug at him. Everything Kelsier had accomplished had merely been part of this thing's master plan to be freed, and the creature did have some kind of hold on Vin. It could appear to her, as reinforced by how it led her away from the camp one day, in a sudden motion that confused Kelsier. He tried to follow, running after the phantom that Ruin had made. It bounded like a mistborn, and Vin followed, obviously convinced that she'd discovered a spy. They left the camp behind entirely. Kelsier slowed, feeling useless, standing on the misty ground outside the city and watching them vanish into the distance. She could sense that thing, and as long as it was here, it overshadowed Kelsier. He'd never be able to speak with her. Ruin's reason for leading Vin away soon manifested. Something launched an assault on Vin and Ellen's army of Kolos. Kelsier figured it out from the bustling of the camp and was able to reach the scene faster than the people in the physical realm. It looked like siege equipment had been rolled out onto a ridge above where the Kolos camped. It rained down death upon the beasts. Kelsier couldn't do anything but watch as the sudden attack killed thousands of them. He couldn't feel any real regret when the Kolos were destroyed, but it did seem a waste. The Kolos raged in frustration, unable to reach their enemy. Curiously, their souls started to appear in the cognitive realm. And they were human. Not Kolos at all, but people, dressed in a variety of outfits. Many were Ska, but there were soldiers, merchants, and even nobility among them, both male and female. Kelsier gaped. He had never quite known what Kolos were, but he had not expected this. Common people? Made beasts, somehow? He rushed among the dying souls as they faded. "What happened to you?" he demanded of one woman. "How did this happen to you?" She regarded him with a bemused expression. "Where," she said, "where am I?" In a moment, she was gone. It seemed the transition was too much of a shock. The others showed similar confusion, holding out their hands as if surprised to find themselves human again, though not a few seemed relieved. Kelsier watched as thousands of these figures appeared, then faded away. It was a slaughter on the other side, stones crashing down all around. One passed right through Kelsier before rolling away, breaking bodies. He could use this. But he would need something specific. Not a Ska peasant or a crafty lord. He needed someone who... There. He dashed through fading spirits and dodged between the glowing souls of creatures not yet dead, making for a particular spirit who had just appeared. Bald, with tattoos circling his eyes. An obligator. That man seemed less surprised by events and more resigned. By the time Kelsier arrived, the lanky obligator was already starting to stretch away. "How?" Kelsier demanded, counting on the obligator to understand more about the Kolos. "How did this happen to you?"
"I don't know," the man said.
Kelsier felt his heart sink.
"The beasts," the man continued, "should have known better than to take an obligator. I was their keeper, and they did this to me. This world is ruined."
"Should have known better?" Kelsier clutched the obligator's shoulder as the man stretched toward nothingness.
"How? Please, how is it done? Men become Kolos?"
The obligator looked to him and, vanishing, said one word.
"Sparks."
Kelsier gaped again. Around him on the misty plain, souls blazed bright, flashed, and were dumped into this realm, before finally fading to nothing, like human bonfires being extinguished. Spikes. Like Inquisitor spikes? He walked to the slumped-over corpses of the dead and knelt, inspecting them. Yes, he could see it. Metal glowed on this side, and among those corpses were little spikes, like embers, small but glowing fiercely. They were much harder to make out on the living Kolos, because of the way the soul blazed, but it seemed to him that the spikes pierced into the soul. Was that the secret? He shouted at a pair of Kolos, and they looked toward him, then glanced about, confused. The spikes transform them, Kelsier thought. Like Inquisitors. Is that how they're controlled? Through piercings in the soul? What of madmen? Were their souls cracked open, allowing something similar? Troubled, he left the field and its dying, although the battle, or rather the slaughter, seemed to be ending. Kelsier crossed the misty field outside Fadrix, then lingered out here alone, away from the souls of men, until Vin returned, trailed by a shadow she didn't seem to know was there this time. She passed by, then disappeared into the camp. Kelsier settled down near one of the little tendrils of preservation and touched it. He has his fingers in everything, doesn't he, Fuzz?
Yes,
Preservation said, his voice frail, tiny.
See?
Something appeared in Kelsier's mind, a sequence of images. Inquisitors listening with heads raised toward Ruin's voice. Vin in the creature's shadow. A man he didn't know sitting on a burning throne and watching Luthadel, a twisted smile on his lips. Then, little Lester Burns. Spook wore a burned cloak that seemed too big for him, and Ruin crouched nearby, whispering with Kelsier's own voice into the poor lad's ear. After him, Kelsier saw Marsh standing among falling ash, spiked eyes staring sightlessly across the landscape. He didn't seem to be moving. The ash was piling up on his shoulders and head. Marsh. Seeing his brother like that made Kelsier sick. Kelsier's plan had required Marsh to join the Obligators. He had deduced what must have happened next. Marsh's allomancy had been noticed, as had the fervent way he lived his life. Passion and care. Marsh had never been as capable as Kelsier, but he had always, always been a better man. Preservation showed him dozens of others, mostly people in power leading their followers to doom, laughing and dancing as ash piled high and crops withered in the mists. Each one was a person either pierced by metal or influenced by people around them who were pierced by metal. He should have made the connection back at the Well of Ascension, when he'd seen in the pulses that Ruin could speak to Marsh and the other Inquisitors. Metal. It was the key to everything.
So much destruction, Kelsier whispered at the visions. We can't survive this, can we? Even if we stop Ruin, we are doomed.
No, Preservation said. Not doomed. Remember? Hope, Kelsier. You said I am
hope, Kelsier whispered.
I cannot save you, but we must trust.
In what?
In the man I was. In the plan, the sign, and the hero.
Vin, he has her, Fuzz.
He doesn't know as much as he thinks, Preservation whispered. That is his weakness. The weakness of all clever men.
Except me, of course.
Preservation had enough spark left to chuckle at that, which did Kelsier some good. He stood up, dusting off his clothing, which was somewhat pointless, seeing as how there was no dust here, not to mention no actual clothing.
Come now, Fuzz. When have you known me to be wrong?
Well, there was...
Those don't count. I wasn't fully myself back then.
And when did you become fully yourself?
Only just now, Kelsier said.
You could use that excuse any time.
Now you're catching on, Fuzz. Kelsier put his hands on his hips. We use the plan you set in motion when you were sane, eh? All right, then. How can I help?
Help? I don't...
No, be decisive, bold. A good crew leader is always sure of himself, even when he isn't. Especially when he isn't.
That doesn't make sense.
I'm dead. I don't need to make sense anymore. Ideas? You're crew leader now.
Me?
Sure. Your plan. You're in charge. I mean, you are a god. That should count for something, I suppose.
Thank you for finally acknowledging that.
Kelsier deliberated, then set his pack on the ground.
You're sure this can't help? It builds links between people and gods. I'd think it could heal you or something.
Oh, Kelsier, Preservation said. I've told you that I am dead already. You cannot save me. Save my successor instead.
Then I will give it to Vin. Would that help?
No. You must tell her. You can reach through the gaps in souls when I cannot. Tell her that she must not trust, pierced by metal. You must free her to take my power. All of it.
Right, Kelsier said, tucking away the glass globe. Free Vin. Easy. He just had to find a way past ruin.